All right, welcome back to Ed Show, episode number 7. Yes.
Episode 7.
We can still count it on two hands.
On two hands,
there
yes.
There we go. And this week we have a big announcement around Office 365. Lots of new stuff. We have opened up the service in 22 new countries and opening it up to, I think, 700-something-odd million folks. And along with that is over 30 new features. So, yeah, lots of new things. What are some things that you like?
So there's a lot of, I mean, pages of new stuff. So we'll focus on, Keith, you mentioned the 22 new countries. Also in that announcement is some expansion with Russia and Korea. So with Russia and Korea, you used to only be able to get Office 365 through your enterprise agreement. Now you can get that Office 365 trial directly from Microsoft in both Russia and Korea. And so some cool stuff there. A really great feature that I personally am taking advantage of even right now as we speak, which is the new admin self-service password reset. Prior to this new feature being added, in order for you to get a password reset for your administrative account, like I have for my Office 365 account, you forget the password, you've got to call support, you've got to go through this whole, open up a support request, this whole thing. Now administrators can actually do self-service password reset, but there's a couple caveats here that you want to be aware of. The first one is that you've got to have an alternate email address set up in your account. And the second thing being you need to have a phone number in that account that can accept SMS text messages. So what will happen is you'll go in, you'll fill out, hey, I need to reset my password. It'll send an email to that alternate account, and you have a certain amount of time that you then need to click a button. It'll send the SMS, and you have to reply to it. And after that, you have to start the process over again. So that's a really cool feature that, of course, I'm trying out right now because, you know, I changed my password prior to a holiday. You ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and completely forget it.
Yeah,
so I'm doing that right now. There's some really cool things as far as Active Directory and DirSync, right, the directory synchronization tool. The first is the ability to do source of authority transfer. So previously, when you set up directory synchronization between your users that are on site and cloud, if you ever wanted to deactivate it and change kind of, you know, hey, is my cloud the authority, or is my on-premise directory the authority? Again, another support issue that you had to bring up. Now you have the ability to activate and deactivate that directory synchronization right there, so you don't no longer have to do the whole support thing. And the one thing that drove me absolutely crazy was the fact that prior to this release, DirSync was the 32-bit only version, which makes it difficult for those of us that are running 64-bit hardware yeah. and these things. So we, as of now, support the 64-bit version of the directory synchronization tool, which I'm sure you're well aware uses the Forefront Identity Manager.
Well, one of the things that I think are going to be really cool is the extended support for a bunch of different clients. So under the consumerization of IT, people bring in all kinds of devices. Big one is Macintosh. A lot of people have Macs out there. We want to enable with Office 365 the users to be able to use the system. So one of the things that we have is support for OS X Lion, that operating system. You can download the Office for Mac tools onto the client, and that is included as part of your subscription. And then the other new thing that's new is Link for Mac. So you can actually use the Link client on your Macintosh natively. So that's one of the big ones. Another thing is that we actually have support now in SharePoint officially for IE9 in Chrome. So, you know, that may have worked to varying degrees before. Now we're officially saying it works, it's supported, you're good there. So another thing that we have support for is in Outlook Web Access, you can actually now directly edit and view Office documents right there from within your web browser. Now we know that we already have that support built into SharePoint online, as well as like SkyDrive, where you can edit documents all from your web browser, but now that's in OWA as well.
So right from my Outlook, I can just simply click and start editing a document, not having to open up another
open
tool.
Up anything else.
Awesome.
Just
very
really
cool.
Nice for people who have remote connectivity kind of situations. They don't have maybe Office installed on that remote device. They can quickly get that information. The last thing would be that in SharePoint, we actually now allow you to collaborate with people just by having a Live ID. So you have that email address that you know that somebody else has a Live ID. They can now collaborate with you on SharePoint projects, and that's all you really need to do.
So you've got other people, other companies that you work with, those kinds of things, and they can just, we can all start working together and everything.
Yeah. All right.
One thing cool to note about that, it's off by default, and and you can turn it on. And the other piece is it's tenant-based. It's not per subscription. So I love this because if you've got multi-tenant kind of SharePoint scenario, you can set it, turn it on and off per tenant, and your tenant administrators can actually manage that. So it's not, flip it on for the entire subscription and let everybody else have it.
We got to give people lots of control and, you know, maybe even allow them to block people, perhaps.
Absolutely, which we actually have client access control. So the alternate piece that we were just talking about with allowing people in, we actually have the ability to block external access to Office 365. Now, that blocks everything except for like Exchange ActiveSync or other kind of passive browser-based applications like Outlook Web Access and SharePoint Online. But you can prevent a full-blown Outlook client or accessing the data from outside of your work environment. So if you want to say, hey, look, we only allow work on this particular project to occur within the office. We don't want it to occur outside of that. You can absolutely set up that those client access control restrictions and just basically block IPs that aren't part of your internal IP address range.
Yeah, so or branch offices or whatever.
Right, that is. Absolutely. Yep. Your own space.
Yep. Cool.
So that's kind of a quick summary. There's a ton more. There's a ton more, so you want to go check out the Office 365 website to get more information there.
Yep, and if you want the trial, of course, just go to aka.ms/0365. You can sign up for a trial in your own region and check it out. With that, I think that's the news.
That would be the news.
And now we're going to go to an interview that we have with myself and a program manager from System Center.
All right, awesome.
All right, this is David Tessar continuing on with the Edge Show, and I am in the office of Mark Florida. Mark, could you let our audience know a little bit about what you do?
Oh, yeah. I'm a lead program manager on the Configuration Manager product, and I'm responsible for endpoint protection as well as a few other features in our product that relate to security, such as software updates management.
Okay, very cool. Well, I know that under the overall consumerization of IT trend that we see today, one of the things that most people are going to have is some form of well-managed and secured type of, client machine, right? Which is what directly relates to you. So the question is, what are we doing to really help in this newer version to keep clients secure and well-managed?
Yeah, really we're focusing on how to operationalize security is what we look at it internally. And really in a nutshell what that is trying to take a look at the tasks that a traditional security administrator might do in a separate product today, and how do we get some of those tasks and get those to be performed by a configuration manager admin. And really kind of the power of that model is that you can then take those security administrators and have them focus on the tasks that are really right for them. You know, have them go into forensic tasks and not, dealing with the day-to-day mechanics of, let's say, distributing a definition update. You know, the config manager admin already knows how to do those tasks. They do those today just with normal Windows updates, for example. So, why do we have this sort of duplicate administrative model that they have to go through? And then the other benefit, which I'd love to show you up on the whiteboard, is just, how we can help you just collapse a complete infrastructure and just, use Configuration Manager to solve both your security management tasks as well as your sort of traditional config manager scenarios as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So what I have here on the whiteboard is a typical customer scenario that we see. They tend to have this completely separate infrastructure that's used for managing anti-malware, feature functionality, which I have represented up here, which is really just a set of servers. And then they have Configuration Manager over here on the left. They have their central administration side, they'll have a primary side, they'll have some distribution points, and, depending on the customer, it might be, broader scale out needs there. And really what I want to kind of focus on is that they're using these two different infrastructures to manage the same set of clients. So they got their anti-malware agent talking to their anti-malware infrastructure, and then they have their config manager client talking to their config manager infrastructure. So what we kind of focused on in endpoint protection is, you know, how can we get customers to not have to support this entire different infrastructure? That obviously has some benefits just from maintaining the servers. That's one level that's, you know, great to go after. The other thing that we looked at was, you know, around those administrative tasks, which I talked about just a minute ago. So when we looked at how to kind of pull this off, we looked at kind of what would be the workflow that you would want to go through to enable this. What we kind of focus on is taking the configuration manager admin, and again focusing on those tasks that are, you know, make the most sense for them. So in order to start, what you want to do is you want to look at getting definition updates. So definition updates are released multiple times a day, and I know for certain I wouldn't want to be sitting at the console, you know, manually approving each one of those that comes in. So what we did is we built a new feature in our product called auto deployment rules. Auto deployment rules are really an addition to our software updates management feature, and what they allow the administrator to do is to define a rule using a rich set of criteria to select updates from Windows Update or Microsoft updates to automatically download those updates at a defined schedule. So for in the case of definition updates, let's just say that's my criteria. So I pick definition updates, I pick the time I want to sync, you know, let's say I want to sync once a day. And then what Configuration Manager will do is it will automatically, you know, go up to Windows Update and grab new definition updates for endpoint protection once a day. It'll then bring it down into my infrastructure, and then it'll replicate those updates out just like it replicates updates out, you know, for normal Windows updates. So kind of the advantage here is it's automated. The Config Manager admin is using a feature they're already accustomed to, which is software updates management, so it's not something new to them. It's just an existing process they already know. And then these definition updates can be distributed then out to the clients using the same infrastructure that they have set up.
Okay.
So that's sort of priming the infrastructure for definition updates. Then once you've gotten that set up, what you want to focus on is creating your anti-malware policy or policies that you want to create. This is where you go in and you define your settings that you want, you know, you want your anti-malware agent to behave in. You know, what's your scan schedule, things like that. Once you get your AM policy defined and you target that out, the kind of step number three in the list is how do you enable the endpoint client, endpoint protection client, on all of these devices.
Yeah, everywhere where there's a Configuration Manager 2012 client, how do we light up the endpoint protection there without causing any kind of problems?
Yeah, and absolutely. And what we've focused on was we know that, you know, let's be honest. We know that most of our customers are already operating with a third-party product today, which is great. You know, we want our customers to be secure. So how do we get them from where they're at today to using endpoint protection in a secure manner that's, you know, that's optimal for how they want to administer the product? So what we focused on was leveraging what we call third-party removal. So we have a set of third-party products that we support automatic removal for. So the beauty of this functionality is, you know, the Config Manager admin can come into the console, they can literally check a box that says something to the effect of, you know, install the endpoint protection client. And then what Configuration Manager will do is it will deploy a policy, you know, normal machine policy that Config Manager has. And what it will detect is the third-party product being installed. It will remove it, and then it'll replace it with the actual endpoint protection client. Then once that endpoint protection client is installed, it will then immediately get the anti-malware policy that you defined. It will then also get the latest definition updates using the software updates feature. So what that means is you don't have to worry about WAN impact of the clients going up to WooMoo directly. Rather, the updates will come directly from the distribution point itself. So now we're in a situation where we got the endpoint protection client installed. You've kind of moved everything over into, you know, mm-hmm. using endpoint protection fully. The next piece that we wanted to focus on was how can we continue with the operationalizing of the product, which really means how do we get the security administrator out of having to be in the console day to day. So a key feature that we built into Endpoint Protection 2012 was what we call real-time alerts. So real-time alerts, they obviously start from the client. You know, let's say you get a malware outbreak. Typically, what happens in Configuration Manager is there's a bit of a latency. You know, a new status message gets generated. It can take up to 60 minutes for that status message to kind of make its way up the hierarchy. But we know that for anti-malware, that's just not good enough. You need to see the result from a client that's being impacted. You need to see that on the server in a matter of, you know, low number of minutes. So what we did is we built this new infrastructure so that these new malware events that get generated, you know, let's say this client gets infected, this new event hops in front of all the other events that we have on our client, so that it can run at a higher priority than everything else that our normal client activity is reporting off of. So what that means results-wise is this: there is no breaks. Basically, the client generates the alert, it immediately sends it up to the client. So the delay that you're looking at is really just network. You know, what's your network latency? And that's the amount of delay you're going to see between your client and your server. Then once these events get replicated back up into your central administration site, what you then get is really two outputs. We have a rich dashboard where from this dashboard you can see alert information, you can see top malware that's impacting your environment. But what's really great for the security administrator, the one that may not be, you know, in the console day to day, what we do is we can pipe those out into email. So what you can do is create an email subscription. So if you're the security administrator, you can just subscribe to an email that will, you know, tell you, hey, there's some event that's going on. I need to hop into the Configuration Manager console to really figure out what's happening. So that's just, you know, a few of the changes that we made to really kind of focus on how to operationalize, you know, your security management.
So how can we have kind of a user-centric view throughout all this on the security?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's a piece that you know, we really tried to, you know, focus on with what we did when we looked at malware outbreaks. So one of the pieces that Configuration Manager has built, you know, irrespective of endpoint protection, is the notion of building a relationship between a user and their devices. So leveraging the user device affinity relationship that Configuration Manager has, what we can tell is not just that this machine here is being impacted, but we can actually tell the user that's associated with this machine. And by understanding the association between this malware to this user, it really helps us better understand, or a customer better understand, what the business impact is from that malware being impacted. You know, a machine can just be sort of some cryptic identity, but really understanding who that user is can really tell you, you know, is this my finance department being impacted? What business group might this be? This can really bring you much closer to really understanding that business level impact.
You might also be able to tell that person who likes to bring lots of viruses onto the network and maybe have a chat with them, right?
Yeah, that's another use for it as well. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I really like how, you know, we have central management, because, you know, Configuration Manager obviously does a lot more than just endpoint protection. So having one place to go for everything. Are we looking to support additional kind of richer management clients outside of Windows ever?
That's definitely something that we're investigating. It's a common ask that we get from customers, you know, obviously to support, you know, things beyond Windows. So those are areas that we're actively investigating how to cover that, not just for traditional Config Manager features, but also for endpoint protection as well.
Great. All right. What do you think are some of the, you know, key advantages, to kind of wrap this up, of having that integrated Configuration Manager and endpoint protection?
Yeah, obviously reduce your hardware spend. You don't have to worry about either buying these from a CapEx perspective, or even from just keeping these things breathing, just, you know, dealing with the cooling and the operational expenditures of having just this hardware here. And it's not just one box. You know, you got these distributed, you know, pieces of hardware throughout the hierarchy. And then the other piece is really around just your normal, you know, administrative costs. You know, how do you think about, as an IT manager, how do you think about your staffing models? How do you think about those tasks that people perform? You can take a lot of the tasks that are happening over here that are very, very similar to existing Config Manager tasks, and you can get those Config Manager administrators, or vice versa, I'm not here to tell you which is the right model, you can really look at trying to, you know, get those done by the same resource or the same type of resource, and that'll really help you sort of optimize how you think about, you know, staffing your IT organization. So it's really about reducing hardware spend and looking at optimizing your staffing model, you know, all under the umbrella of, you know, try to, you know, maximize your IT budgets.
Great. All right. Thanks very much.
Sure. It was great. Thank you.
Awesome stuff on some antivirus and malware protection there.
Yeah.
Great video. Great video.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. And if you want to know more about System Center products, such as the System Center Configuration Manager, the Endpoint Protection, go to aka.ms/SC, keeping it short for you. And if you have any comments, questions, things you'd love to see on the Edge Show, let us know. Send us a tweet at TNEdge or just comment right on this video.
Yeah, and so we'll be back for lucky episode number 8 next week. We'll catch you then.
All right.